السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله رب العالمين، الرحمن الرحيم، مالك يوم الدين. اللهم لك الحمد وإليك المشتكى وبك الثقة وعليك التكلان، ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. اللهم لا سهل إلا ما جعلته سهلا، وأن تجعل الحزن إذا شئت سهلا. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهديه واستنى بسنته ودعا بدعوته إلى يوم الدين. إن شاء الله تعالى this is a continuation of our weekly tafsir class. I apologize for last week. We were supposed to have a lesson, but something came up. Last time we left off, we are still going through the beginnings of Surah Al-Baqarah, and we were going through the story of Banu Israel. The story of Banu Israel. And we mentioned why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about Banu Israel. And that the beginning of the surah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started the surah, He taught us or told us about who we are as human beings and how we are either Muslims or kafirs or munafiqs. Those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who claim to believe in Allah but lie about it, and those who disbelieve in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah then mentioned where each one of them would end up, what their characteristics are. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about, in the beginning of the surah, those that are successful and those that aren't. And Allah gave many examples of that, starting with the best example that Allah gave us in the beginning, which was Prophet Adam himself, the first human being, and his story. And you learned some of the mistakes that the Prophet Adam made, but also how he repented. You learned about our enemy, the shaitan. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about the whole nation that failed. And that was the nation of Banu Israel. The nation of Banu Israel. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala started by telling us all the good things that happened to them, all the blessings and the good things that were going for them. Allah mentions that he preferred them over the other people, how Allah gave them so many prophets, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved them from Fir'aun, how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the book Torah, how Allah blessed them in so many different ways, forgave them on so many different instances, and they kept on sinning and going back. Why is Allah telling us this? A number of reasons. Number one, they failed. They were given a prophet and a book. They failed to follow the prophet and act upon the book. Don't do the same. What is the other reason Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us about them? Because while this Surah Al-Baqarah is being revealed, the Prophet is coming into contact for the first time with other Yahud, the people of the book. In Mecca, the Prophet wasn't in contact with the people of the book. He was dealing with polytheists, the Quraysh, the Meccanists, that were idol worshippers. The Prophet, when he made the migration to Medina, he comes into contact with the people of the book, the Yahud. And they claim to follow a book. They claim to have Prophet and this beautiful legacy. But if that is true, if you truly followed Musa alayhi salam, if you truly follow the Torah, then you have no choice, no choice but to follow Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam as well. Why? Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mentioned in their books, and they were expecting a final prophet, but when they realized that he was a Qurayshi man, a Arab, they couldn't follow him, and they decided that they were going to reject him. So this is the story that's happening, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is teaching us more about them. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in verse 83, which is where we're going to start today, Allah says, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا وَذِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينِ وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ ثُمَّ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا مِنْكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ مُعْرِضُونَ. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us a covenant, a promise that the Banu Israel made. When Allah says, when we took from them the covenant, the mithaq, this word we came across it a few times already. A mithaq is a promise, a oath, a promise that is made with an oath. So this is something that you cannot go back on. And whenever a mithaq is mentioned that goes to Banu Israel, it means the following things. It could mean the promise, the oath, the covenant that we all took as human beings with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala before we even created. Now, before we even created Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He created Adam, all of the descendants of Adam, all of the dhurriyyah of Adam, including ourselves, were brought forth. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked us, am I not your Lord? And everyone said, oh Allah, you are. So everything that we do in worship and in following the prophets, it is keeping that promise that we made to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One might ask, well, we don't even remember that promise. But you actually do, because that promise in essence is the fitrah that you have. Your natural inclination to believe, to worship, this is in everyone. This fitrah is in everyone. And sometimes this fitrah is corrupted, which is why Allah sends prophets to remind the people. Or the mithaq, this promise, could literally mean the promise that the Bani Israel made to Prophet Musa and to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to adhere to the book, the Torah, and to follow the prophets, not just Prophet Musa, but all the other prophets as well, and even Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions some details of the covenant. What is it that they were asked to do? What is it that they didn't do, but were asked to do? Allah says, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا وَإِذْ أَيْوَذْكُرْ And remember, I mentioned when we took the covenant from Bani Israel. What was it? Number one, لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ That you will not worship anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was the first commandment? لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ That you will not worship anyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Did they break this? Yes, they did. When? When instead of worshiping Allah, they created a calf or a cow and they worshiped it, right? That was the first one they broke. When instead of worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they worshiped the golden cow. So that was one of the promises. Is this specific to them or is it to all of the prophets, the messages, لا تعبدون إلا الله? This is a universal message. What is our first commandment? Literally, when you read Surah Al-Baqarah, and I mentioned this in previous minutes, when you open the Quran, A person that wants to open the Quran for the first time, someone that is reading the Quran, where do you start? You start from Fatiha, you start from this side. When we're learning the Quran, we start from the bottom, right? قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِالنَّاسِ قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِالْفَلَقِ But that's just for our memorization. These surahs are short. But the Quran actually goes this way. So what's the first surah in the Quran? Suratul Fatiha. And then what surah follows that? Suratul Baqarah. That's the second surah. So when someone opens the Quran and they start reading Suratul Fatiha, and then they start reading Surah Al-Fatiha, there's no command in it. There's nothing Allah asks to do in Surah Al-Fatiha. Allah tells us a lot, but there's no command. There's no do this. Then you go to Surah Al-Baqarah in the beginning, there is no command. Literally, the first command, the first amr you come across is, Ya أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اُعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ Verse 21. O mankind, worship your Lord alone. So if someone were to ask, what is the first commandment you'll come across in the Quran, what is it? It is tawheed. It is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that the mithaq, the covenant, the promise that they were supposed to uphold, number one was, la ta'buduna illa Allah, that you will not worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My brothers and sisters, all of our deen and everything that we do, it comes back to this one thing. Direct your worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that doesn't mean just your salah. It means literally everything that you do. Your fear, your love, your hope, your devotion. Direct it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Put your trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rely only on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Fear Allah alone subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you need something, raise your hand and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you are sick, seek help from Allah. Connect yourself to your creator. لا تعبدون That you will not worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What was the second thing? وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا And be especially good and kind to your parents. These are the covenants of Banu Israel. Do they sound similar? Of course you do, because these are the same thing Allah wants us to do. In fact, in Surah An-Nisa, you will find an ayah that is very similar to this one, where it lists the things that we are supposed to do, our covenant. And that shows you the similarities between the religions, between the people of Prophet Musa and the people of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In fact, what we will cover in this verse is known as usul al-Islam or usul al-Din. These are the foundations of our deen, and the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the fact that you have to worship Allah alone was present in the time of Nuh. It was his da'wah. وَعْبُدُوا اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا It was a da'wah of Yunus and Yusuf and Ya'qub and all of the prophets. So that's a universal message. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا And be especially kind to your parents. A universal message, not just for us. It was also for the Banu Israel, the people that came before them. And it's beautiful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always connects the parents with himself, Jalla Jalaluhu, showing you that from Allah's creation, the ones who have the most right upon you are your parents. Not your children, not your spouse, not your friends, not your neighbors, not your family members, your mother and father. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَذِي الْقُرْبَى, and your relatives. Qurba literally comes from the word qurb, those who are close to you. So be kind to those who are close to you, your relatives. And that will include your cousins and upwards, right? And the scholars say that your qaraba, your relatives, the one who have right over you, are the ones who you go upwards four generations. So your father's children are your brothers and sisters. Your grandfather's children are your uncles and then their cousins, right? And then you go one more. And that is your distant family, right? So your cousins, even your second cousins, have rights over you. So you need to be connected and aware of what's happening, even to somewhat distant relatives, if you will. They aren't really that distant. But you should try your best to keep ties. It's an act of worship. If you have a cousin that lives in the same city and you don't visit them, you don't call them, you don't see how they're doing, then you're lacking in your worship. You're lacking in your ibadah. This is among the usul, wadhil qurba. And if you want to know a general good principle is, the closer they are to you, the more rights they have. So your brothers, of course, has more right than your cousin. Your cousin has more right than your second cousin. And it goes like that. So we spoke about Allah's rights, the parents. We spoke about, Allah mentions the qaraba, the relatives. وَالْيَتَامَ, and the orphans. إِخْوَانِ فِي اللَّهِ, the orphans. Who's an orphan? An orphan, from an Islamic perspective, al-yatim, is the one who lost his father. The one who lost his father. Al-yatimu man faqada abahu, is the one who lost his father, not the mother. Why? Because most of the time, the one who loses his father, they lose the one who's going to provide for them, take care of them, etc., right? They say, from the human beings, the one who loses their father is considered a yatim, and from the animals, the one who loses her mother is considered yatim, because the animals, they're a lot more closely connected to their mothers, right? But it's opposite. Like, when it comes to connection and love and taking care, it's your mother, la shak. But when it comes to provision and protection, that's the father's role. And if the father is gone, society has to fill that, which is why we all have a collective responsibility to take care of the orphans, to ensure they are well taken care of. Al-yatama. Wal-masakeen, and the needy. Wal-masakeen, and the needy. Now, look at what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the Banu Israel. This was the covenant. This is what they were supposed to do. Worship Allah alone. Be especially good to your parents, the relatives. Take care of the orphans and the needy. Here you learn the basics of Islam, ikhwani fillah. It is the rights of Allah and the right of Allah's slaves. Haqqullah wa haqq ibadihi. As a Muslim, this is what your life revolves around. Give Allah what's owed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to Allah's creation and Allah's slaves what they're owed, right? It's a responsibility upon you. Now, who is a miskin? Who is the miskin? When we say take care of the masakeen, the needy, who fits that category? It's quite interesting because sometimes you see the word faqir. Have you guys heard of the word faqir before? You have a faqir and a miskeen. What's the difference, right? And there is a difference. The scholars, and if in fact, when we are talking about the people that are deserving of the zakat, when we collect the zakat, the people that are deserving of it, they are called eight categories. There are eight categories, eight types of people that are given the zakat that is collected. It's Allah says, إِنَّمَا الصَّدَقَاتُ, indeed, the sadaqah, the charity is collected, is for who? Lil-fuqara, the poor. Wal-masakeen, and the needy. So, fuqara and masakeen, poor and needy. So, they are mentioned, so there must be a difference. Scholars, they say, the maskeen is the one that has something, but it's not enough. And the faqir is the one that has nothing. So, the maskeen, it has something, but it's not enough. So, they require support. The faqir has nothing. And what is the evidence for this? If you go to Surah Al-Kahf, and the story of Musa and Khadir, a very beautiful story, Musa and Khadir, the men that were on the boat. So Musa and Khadir, they go and travel on a boat together, or a ship, and then Khadir starts breaking the ship. right? And then these men that owned this boat or this ship, they were called masakin. وَأَمَّا السَّفِينَةُ فَكَانَتْ لِمَسَاكِينَ. So they own something. They're not completely in poverty, but they were considered masakin, and Allah knows best. Al-Muhim, when miskeen is mentioned by itself, the faqir is also included. When they are mentioned together, then there is a separation. And there are many things like that. It's like Iman and Islam. Iman and Islam, when they are mentioned together, they mean different things. This is why the hadith of Jibreel, it mentions Islam and it explains it in a certain way. Then it mentions Iman and it explains it in another way, right? Iman is the faith that we have and Islam is the actions that we do. But when they are mentioned separately, it includes. So when we say you have to be a good Muslim, it includes your belief and it also includes the actions. If I tell you have to be a good mu'min, it includes your belief but it also includes the actions. So there are certain statements that when they are together, if I say take care of the masakin, it includes the faqir, right? Tayyib. So now we have those that we are supposed to take care of, parents, relatives, orphans, and the poor and the needy. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now that you know the actions you're supposed to do, also, وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, and say to the people a good speech. Don't only take care of what you do, don't ensure that what you do is good, but also what you say is good. And Allah did not say, وَقُولُوا لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ حُسْنًا, say good to the believers. What did Allah say? وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ, to the people. It doesn't matter what faith they are, what background they are, if they're Muslim or non-Muslim, always speak well, speak good, say what is better, right? وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. And when the Mufassirun, and some of the Salaf, like Hassan al-Basri, was asked, what does this ayah mean? Say good. And he said, it means, Hassan al-Basri mentioned, it means الْأَمْرُ بِالْمَعَرُوفُ وَالنَّهِ عَلِ الْمُنْكَرِ. Command the good and forbid the evil. Command the good and forbid the evil. Do you want to be among those that say good and say good speech? Be courageous enough. Be God conscious enough that when you see evil, you speak against it. And when you want, and command the good as well. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, this great companion, who is also known as Turjaman al-Quran, the one that explained the Quran, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ibn Abbas, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, radiallahu anhu, he said that it is number one, say good speech, say la ilaha illallah. Allahu Akbar, say la ilaha illallah. So it's all of the above. Say la ilaha illallah, call towards good, forbid evil, speak nice words, use the best of words. This is what the covenant of Banu Israel was. And then they were also told, وَأَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ, and establish the prayer. How do you establish the prayer? You establish the prayer. Take note, Allah doesn't say pray. Rarely will you find the Quran, صَلُّ, pray. It's always establish the prayer, أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. How do you establish the prayer? By praying it the best way you can, the best way you possibly can, right? So do your wudu the best way, right? Have khushu' in your salah. It means that attend the masjid. It means that when you're praying, try to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Don't do it quick. Do all of the sunnah, all of the hayat. This is what it means to establish the prayer. وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ, and give the zakat. وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ, and give the zakat. Earlier, take care of the needy, generally. وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ, give charity. This was the obligations, of course. So, these were the things Allah asked Bani Israel to do. And each one of them, you recognize, right? These are the things that Allah asked us to do. So what happened to them? Did they do it? Again, one more time. وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ, and we took the covenant from Bani Israel. لَا تَعْبُدُونَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ, that they would not worship except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and they are especially kind and good towards their parents. وَذِي الْقُرْبَى, and their relatives. وَالْيَتَامَى, the orphans. وَالْمَسَاكِينَ, the needy. And وَقُولُوا سَيْلِ النَّاسِ, to the people, حُسْنًا, the best of speech. وَأَقِيمُوا الصَّلَاةَ, and establish the prayer. وَآتُوا الزَّكَاةَ, and give the charity. After all of this, ثُمَّ تَوَلَّيْتُمْ, then you turned away. So what did the Banu Israel do? Instead of acting upon this, they turned away. All of them? Literally all of them? No. Of course not. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just illa qalilan minkum, except for a few among you. So the majority of the Banu Israel turned away. They didn't act upon it. But were there some good ones? Yes, there were. It was last week or our last lesson that the brother here said, Ustad, were all the Banu Israel bad? And sometimes you might assume that because you hear all of this negative stuff. But here Allah is saying, no. A small group among you, they did it, but most of you didn't. وإلا قليل منكم except for a small group among you وأنتم معرضون while you were going away and turning the cheek. And this means Allah mentioned this twice. So you turned away not intending to even look back. So someone might turn away thinking, you know, I will repent maybe later. This was not the case of Bani Israel. They didn't want to have anything to do with this covenant. Whether it was worshipping Allah, being kind to your parents, none of that. Again, why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala teaching us this? Why is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala telling us this? This is a few reasons. Last time when we were here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was telling the believers in Medina, don't bank too much on the Bani Israel believing. They are not those kind of people. A lot of the Medina, the Sahaba, they were eager. Our brothers from the Ahlul Kitab, they're going to believe, let's call them to Islam. But they were extremely proud people, extremely arrogant people that weren't going to listen, that weren't going to follow the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, although they know it was the truth. So Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala mentioned that they shouldn't expect much from them. Don't expect much from them. We can literally count how many of them became Muslim. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us one of the reasons why you can't expect much from them is that they were always like this. When Allah took the covenant from them to do all of these things, they turned away, except for a few. Here Allah mentions another example in the following verse. وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ. Now it's almost directly being spoken to them. And remember, O Banu Israel. Now I want you to imagine the scene. This is now in Medina. There are the Yahud in Medina. They are proud, they are boasting, saying, we're not going to follow Muhammad. You're not our prophet. Some of them saying, you are only a prophet to the Arabs. Others saying, you're not a prophet at all. Right? Allah is saying to them, and remember, when you took the covenant and you made the promise, لا تسفكون دماءكم, that you would not kill each other. So this was another thing that they had to do. They were told, don't kill each other. The same way as Muslims, what I told about, you can't kill each other. They were also told, you can't kill each other. وَلَا تُخْرُجُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ. Nor can you expel each other from your homes. So don't harm each other, don't kill each other, don't expel each other or exile each other. Do you remember that? ثُمَّ أَقْرَرْتُمْ. And then after that, you agreed, وَأَنْتُمْ تَشْهَدُونَ, while you were witnesses. Allah then says, okay, so this is another covenant, another worship that you were supposed to do. Leave each other alone. Don't kill each other. So what did they do instead? In verse 85, Allah says, ثُمَّ أَنْتُمْ هَؤُلَاءِ تَقْتُلُ أَنفُسَكُمْ. And then after that, here you are, O Bani Israel, تَقْتُلُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ. You are murdering each other. وَتُخْرِجُونَ فَرِيقًا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ. And you are exiling a group among you from their homes. تَظَاهَرُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ بِالْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. You are helping others against them in sin and in transgression. Now, let me give the backstory to this verse because there is a sabab nuzul for this. In Medina, there were three tribes of the Yahud that lived there. In Medina, you had the Arabs that lived there, and then you had the Yahud that lived there, the Bani Israel. The Yahud were of three main tribes. There were other tribes as well, but they were very small. Those were the Banu Qaynuqa, Banu Nadir, and Banu Qurayza. These three. And you had two main Arab tribes, Aus and Khazraj. Now, Aus and Khazraj will become believers and they will be known as the Ansar. They will become believers. There was a long feud and fight between Aus and Khazraj. They were fighting each other for years. Years, to the point where children would grow up in this war and die, and then that's all they knew. So what did the Yahud that lived in Medina do? They each sided with one of these Arab tribes. So you had the Banu Qurayza, they sided with Khazraj. And you had the Banu Qaynuqa'a, Banu Nadir, they sided with Aus. So whenever the Arabs fight each other, the Yahud will also be fighting each other, and they were backing a particular tribe. And this would happen. So they were told in their book, what is their book? The Torah. They were told, you can't kill each other. But they just did it anyway, right? So they did that. They were also told, you can't exile one another, steal from each other, all of these things. But they didn't care, they did that anyway. So whenever a war would happen between the Arab tribes, the Yahud would also be on two opposing sides, and they would fight each other. And when they are fighting each other, they would steal from one another, they would take each other's homes, they would exile each other, and do all sorts of transgressions. Then the custom was that some people would be captured, right? So when Aus attacks Khazraj, some of the Khazraj men are captured. Some of the Jews here are also captured, right? So now you have captives. The Yahud that were fighting against them, they would then pay for the ransom of the enemies of the Yahud. Do you know why would they pay the ransom? Because they would say, well, we have a rule in our kitab. No matter what happens in the end of the day, yes, we will fight against each other, but we always have to pay the ransom. So they would ransom their enemies among the Yahud, right? They would say, well, it's a rule. It's the Torah. We have to follow it. So do you guys get it? Let me repeat it one more time. So you have two warring factions, and two tribes of the Yahud, the Banu Israel, are in these two factions. When a fight happens, many people get killed, homes are taken, and people are captured. Whenever the Yahud are captured, the enemies that were fighting them from the Yahud will say, yeah, I know we were fighting earlier, but now you're captured. I'm going to pay your ransom because you're my Banu Israel brother, right? So Allah is saying, and then when the Arabs would, the Arabs themselves would be surprised, wait, you were just helping us kill them. Why are you paying their ransom? And they would say, yeah, it's in the Torah. It's in the Torah. And Allah is asking them, but isn't it also in the Torah that you shouldn't kill each other to begin with? Isn't also in the Torah that you shouldn't help others to harm? Isn't it in the Torah that you shouldn't exile people from their homes? So why are you doing whatever you want now, but when it comes to that one rule, pay the ransoms, you do it? So this is what this verse is talking about. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذْ أَخَذْنَا مِيثَاقَكُمْ and remember when we took the covenant from you, لَا تَسْفِكُونَ دِمَاءَكُمْ أي لَا تَسْفِكُوا دِمَاءَكُمْ that you would not kill each other. وَلَا تُخْرِجُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ and you would not exile one another from your homes. And ثُمَّ أَقْرَرْتُمْ and you agreed. وَأَنْتُمْ تَشْهَدُونَ وَعَلَى your witnesses. But then what happened? ثُمَّ أَنْتُمْ هَؤُلَاء and then here you are, you people, in Medina during the time of Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, تَقْتُلُونَ أَنفُسَكُمْ you are killing each other, siding with the Arab tribes. وَتُخْرِجُونَ فَرِيقًا مِنْكُمْ مِنْ دِيَارِكُمْ and you are exiling a group among you from their homes. تَظَاهَرُونَ عَلَيْهِمْ you are helping others against them, بِالْإِثْنِ with sin and عُدْوَان transgression. Everything you were told not to do, you're doing it. وَإِنْ يَأْتُوكُمْ أُسَارًا and when captives come to you, تُفَادُوهُمْ then you ransom them. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ and then Allah says, وَهُوَ مُحَرَّمٌ عَلَيْكُمْ إِخْرَاجُهُمْ knowing it's haram upon you to exile them to begin with. And then Allah asks a question. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ are you seriously just going to believe in a portion of the Torah? وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ and deny the rest? So, there were four main things that they were told to do. They were told, don't kill. They were told, don't exile each other. They were told, don't help others in transgression. And they were told that if someone is ransomed, then if someone is captured, then ransom them and ensure that they are free. So three of them you don't do, and you just do this one. Are you going to believe in one portion of the Quran, or the Torah, and leave another? أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا and the reward for the one who does that is not accept is خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا a humiliation in this world, a humiliation in حَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا the dunya, the life in the dunya. Do you guys know why this world, the life is called dunya? Why is it called dunya? Dunya, you have dunya and akhirah, right? Akhirah, dunya comes from, the scholars say, two words. Either it comes from min ad-dunu, which is close. That which is close, that which is near. This world is near to us, and then the hereafter comes later, right? Or from dana'a. Dana'a means that which is lowly, has not a lot of worth. And a lot of scholars say this is what it means. It's called the dunya because it doesn't have a lot of worth. What is the dunya compared to the akhirah? Right? What is the dunya compared to the akhirah? So, are you doing all of this? Is the reward not for the one who does this, believes in one portion of the kitab and leaves the other to be humiliated in this world? What about the next world? وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ and in the hereafter they will be turned back to the worst adab, the most severe punishment. وَمَا اللَّهُ بِغَافِلٍ and Allah is not unaware عَمَّا تَعْمَلُونَ of what you are doing. In fact, Allah is very aware because Allah knows what you're doing. Subhanallah, the scary bit of this ayah is two things. One, Allah mentions that their main sin was what? That they would take one portion of the kitab and leave another. How often do we see this today? People that are like, yeah, we'll take this bit of the Quran, but we will disagree with this bit. you find people saying, you know what, we don't have to do these laws. This law is outdated. We don't need to do it. We'll just have the good akhlaq, right? Good manners. That's the main thing. Or they will say laws related to marriage, we don't need them. Laws related to the divorce, the penal code, everything mentioned in the Quran. One ayah if you deny. One ayah if you deny, you're not a Muslim, by the way. If you deny one ayah in the Quran, you're not a Muslim. If you disagree with one ayah in the Quran, you're not a Muslim. Because a believer is the one that believes in the whole book. Now, what is Allah telling us if you take some portion of the Quran and leave another? And think about this. Let's say someone prays, but chooses to not pay zakat. Or they pay zakat, but they don't pray. Or they fast, but they don't pray. Or they do the ibadat, but they have the worst akhlaq. We have to be very careful. We have to be very careful in all of our actions. May Allah make us among those that take the whole Quran, not just a portion of it. Ameen. What does Allah promise them? Allah says, the Bani Israel that were doing this, Allah says that their punishment is أشد العذاب, the most severe adab. There's only one other group in the Quran that will promise أشد العذاب. Do you guys know who those are? ألا إن آل فرعون أشد العذاب. The people of Fir'aun. They have the most severe punishment. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned أشد العذاب for who? For the people that believe in one portion of the book and then leave the rest of the book. Of course, the book here was referring to the Torah, but if you're treating the Torah like that, you're probably going to treat the Quran like that as well. And Allah gives these people another description, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا بِالْآخِرَةِ أُولَٰئِكَ those are الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا, those who bought this world بِالْآخِرَةِ وَالْآخِرَةِ. In other words, they sold the akhirah in favor of this lowly world. So what is their punishment? فَلَا يُخَفَّفُ عَنْهُمُ الْعَذَابُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ease or the adab from them. وَلَا هُمْ يُنصَرُونَ, nor will they be helped. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, yeah, one more ayah inshallah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ وَقَفَّيْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ بِالرُّسُلِ. And indeed, Allah says, we gave Musa the book, Al-Kitab. By the way, a general rule, if Al-Kitab is mentioned, Al-Kitab, usually in the Quran, it's referring to the Torah. Sometimes it's referring to the Quran, sometimes to other books, but most of the time, when you have Al-Kitab, it's referring to the Torah. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا, and indeed, we have given Musa Al-Kitab, the Torah. وَقَفَّيْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ بِالرُّسُلِ, and we followed with him after many messengers. So, after Prophet Musa, there were many messengers, one after the other for Bani Israel. Here Allah is telling us the kind of life Bani Israel lived, right? Prophet Musa died, immediately there was Prophet Yusha. And then he died, and then there were other prophets as well. So you had Dawood, and Sulaiman, and Zakariya, and Yahya, and Isa, and many, many others, right? So prophet after prophet after prophet after prophet, وَقَفَّيْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ بِالرُّسُلِ. Then, who was the final prophet? Isa. وَآتَيْنَا عِيسَى بِنَ مَرْيَمَ الْبَيِّنَاتِ. And also, and we gave Isa the bayinat, the clear signs. وَأَيَدْنَاهُ, and we supported Isa بِرُوحِ الْقُدُسِ, with the Holy Spirit, which is who? Angel Jibreel. So Prophet Isa was specifically supported with Angel Jibreel. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asks a question. أَفَكُلَّمَا جَاءَكُمْ رَسُولٌ. Every time a prophet comes to you, every time a messenger comes to you, from Musa to Yusha to Dawood to Sulaiman to Zakariya to Yahya to Isa, every time a messenger comes to you, O Bani Israel, bima la tahwa anfusukum, from something you guys don't like, right? So you're told to do something. Earlier, what did you go? Worship Allah alone, be good to your parents, give the sadaqah. Well, bima la tahwa, something that your nafs doesn't like, istakbartum, you become proud, you become arrogant. Indeed, فَفَرِيقًا كَذَّبْتُمْ, a portion of these messengers you denied, you didn't believe in, you called liars. وَفَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ, and some of them you killed. So Bani Israel, among their worst sins were that they actually murdered prophets. Like who? Like Prophet Yahya and Prophet Zakariya. And they tried to kill a prophet, but Allah saved them. Which one was that? Prophet Isa alayhi salam, whom they tried to kill, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved. And this was who they were. Again, وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ. And indeed, we gave Musa the book. Which book is that? The Torah. وَقَفَّيْنَا مِنْ بَعْدِهِ بِرُسُلْ. And we followed him after with him, بِرُسُلْ, with many messengers. Those messengers, by the way, they were the ruled by the Torah. So after Prophet Musa, until Prophet Isa, the main book that was used was the Torah. Right? This is very important. So Dawood and Sulaiman, what was the law that they were using? It was the Torah. And the prophets like Yusha and those prophets. Then you had Isa, Allah gave him the Injil. What's interesting about the Injil is, it was the first book that would change many of the laws in the Torah. And you'll find that in Surah Al-Ma'idah, when one of the things that happened was Prophet Isa, when he came, he changed many of the laws, made a lot of the things that were haram, halal, right? And there was a bad reaction to that, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him many signs to show he was a prophet, such as the miraculous things that you will come across in Surah Imran and Surah Al-Ma'idah, such as reviving the dead with the permission of Allah, healing the blind, and with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, fashioning from clay a bird, and then blowing in it, and it would fly with the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So all of these things. I'm going to conclude here, inshallah ta'ala. So what did they do? Allah says, every time these messengers would come with something, لا تهوى أنفسكم, that your nafs, yourselves, don't enjoy, don't like, don't want to do, استكبرتم, then you will be proud and arrogant and you will deny it. And there is no better example than the fact that they knew that Prophet Muhammad was a prophet, but they didn't like it. So what did they do? استكبرتم. They became proud and arrogant and they completely denied him. Because the description of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was in the Torah. And when he came, the first day they saw him in Medina, their scholars, they knew he was the final messenger. But they couldn't take it. They couldn't handle it. They were too proud. And they said, listen, if we accept him as a prophet, he'll be the leader of Medina and we will just be regular folks. Allah says, فَفَرِيقًا كَذَّبْتُمْ. Your nature, O Banu Israel, is that you denied many of these prophets, a group of them, وَفَرِيقًا تَقْتُلُونَ, and another group you've killed. Like you mentioned, Yahya, and they tried to kill Prophet Isa, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saved him. We're going to conclude here, inshallah ta'ala. Barakallahu feekum, hadha wa akhru da'wana, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.